This message was recorded April 17, 2016. The speaker is David Simpson.
Let's take our Bibles, please, and look to the book of Job and chapter 38. When you come to the 38th chapter, the Lord is now speaking to Job. Job has gone through all the discourses with his so-called friends. As I've said before, with friends like those fellas, you sure wouldn't want any enemies. But now the Lord begins to speak to him. And he's going to answer him, as it says, out of the whirlwind. So you can picture the power of that whirlwind moving round and round in a circle like a tornado, and God speaks to him. We could read the whole chapter, but I've asked Steve to stop at verse 11. And I'll just point out one thing. In verse 11, it points to the waves, said the proud waves. So what he's picturing is God causing the waves to come in and stand up. So if you go to the ocean, you see those waves standing up as they come in. He calls them the proud waves that he is the maker of. Every wave that comes in, God is the maker of it. Every drop that falls into the ocean or upon the earth, God is the maker of it. And so he is challenging Job and God's telling Job who he is. So I'll talk about that a little bit when we start here. But Job 38, verse 1.
Then Jehovah answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors, when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed."
Let's open our Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs. I talked at the end of the 18th chapter about five rules of friendship. Do you remember those? I said, say no to a friend that leads you astray. Say yes to a friend who has understanding. Say yes to a friend who is consistent. Say no to a friend who has a temper. Say yes to a friend who improves you. And when we come into the 19th chapter, the first nine verses has the subject of integrity. So a sixth one, if you wanted to add to that list, would be say no to a friend who doesn't have integrity. So the first nine verses have to do with integrity. The first verse said, "Better is the poor that walks in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool." The comparison is not that it's good to be poor. We all know better than that, don't we? We've all gotten accustomed to eating, so it's not necessarily good to be poor. But he said it's better to be poor and be honest than to be rich and be dishonest or perverse. And sometimes those things are conflicting. So the first verse is integrity is better than perversity. The second verse I like a lot, and I know a lot about it, because it's the high price of ignorance. Look what he says. "Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that haste with his feet sinneth." So this is a verse that has to do with being without knowledge or being ignorant. Now, being without knowledge is being without knowledge of many things. And I'm going to give you four things that we are ignorant of. Won't you look with me to the next book, the book of Ecclesiastes, and look with me to chapter 11. The first thing we are ignorant of is we are ignorant of God. We could read all of these verses, but I'll just look at verse number 5, Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 5. "As thou knowest not," so you're ignorant, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Who can truly explain? Scientifically, we can use terms, but who can truly explain the growth of a baby inside of his mother? And through that period, that soul, that baby, not a blob of irregular mass, not something to be looked upon just as, you know, just something that's come together, but a baby in the womb who does know the way of the Spirit. That that's come together has spirit. It's a soul. Or how the bones grow in the womb. What a marvelous thing. What an intricate thing. We all were there once. Now look at us. We don't understand that. Even so, we know not the works of God who made us. So no, we don't know much about God. We spend a lifetime of learning and we still know very little about God. I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts. There are lots of places we could look. Turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 20. We're going to look in this 20th chapter in the next hour also. He's talking to the brethren that have gathered at Ephesus, Paul is, as he's passing through, purposing and thinking he'll not see them anymore. But look what he said in verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. He was compelled to go to Jerusalem, knowing that there's trouble there. But look what he says, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. We all, in the course of life, make decisions, and we don't know what is going to befall us because we don't know the ways of providence. We don't know the ways of God. They may be the ways of riches, or they may be the ways of poverty. They may be the ways of health. They may be the ways of sickness. They may be the ways of happiness, or there may be much unhappiness. We don't know. So Paul says, I go not knowing the things that befall me. If you think that you have to know everything, you're going to be mighty disappointed in the course of life. So the first thing is that we are ignorant of God and of His ways. Then I want you to look back with me to the book of Jeremiah. So go back to the Old Testament, thumb through there till you come to Jeremiah, and find the 17th chapter. And if you would, please look with me in verse number 9. The heart is deceitful above all things. Let me stop there. Have you ever heard a preacher say, if I know my heart? If I know my heart? What he's doing is he's using himself as an authority. His heart, his feeling is his basis of whatever action he's about to take or whatever words he's about to say. But the fact is, he doesn't know his heart because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Not a little wicked, not just tinged with wickedness, not just on the outer skirts of wickedness, desperately wicked. And then that last question, who can know it? Who can know it? Psychologists, psychiatrists, people who specialize in the study of humanity and human nature spend a lifetime, but we don't know much about man. I notice that husbands and wives still have difficulty after all these years of men dealing with women, women dealing with men, husbands and wives dealing with each other. Let me just stop there. It's easy. You think it's easy, don't you? But it's not. Dealing with one another is not easy, no matter how much experience we have. The problems get all bound up like a ball of yarn, trying to unravel that and get it, put it back together. It's tough. Why? Because the heart is desperately wicked. We are ignorant of God and we are ignorant of mankind, men and women, of ourselves. But there's another thing. Look with me a little to your left again to the book of Ecclesiastes and go with me to chapter 8 and look in verse 7. The third thing we are ignorant of is we are ignorant of the future. Verse 7 of Ecclesiastes 8. For he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death There is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. The fact is, we don't know the future. We are ignorant of the future. We just don't know. So we're ignorant of God, we're ignorant of man, we're ignorant of the future. And we read in the book of Job where God is asking Job, what do you know? He's asking him, do you have understanding of my creation? Were you there when I created? The first thing God asked him is, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? In verse 2 of Job 38. Well, that's what we do by nature. We darken counsel. We try to give counsel by words, and we do it without knowledge. So we're ignorant of God, we're ignorant of man, we're ignorant of the future. But there's a thing that we're ignorant of. I could talk about other things. Like I said, I know a lot about it. A thing that's mighty important for us to know something about, I want you to look with me to Romans 10. Some of you were ahead of me already, I'm sure. You already had your Bible open to Romans 10. Man is ignorant of God's righteousness. That's an astounding thing when you think about these Jews that had the law, the written law, that studied the law, men, that's all they did was study the law. And Paul says they were ignorant of God's righteousness, because what the law does is to reveal the righteousness of God. So here's what he says then in Romans 10, verse 2. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. That is the encapsulation of religion, all kinds of religion. It is a zeal of God, wanting to know God. I watched yesterday on the television, Pope was walking along, and a poor little child, maybe you saw it, knelt down at his feet. Oh, just so happy to see the Pope, so moved to see the Pope. Ignorant. The poor little child is ignorant. Parents are ignorant. For they being ignorant of what? God's righteousness. And going about to establish their own righteousness has led them to this. They have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. How could they, I ask? How could they when they were ignorant of it? If you ask the common religionist, your friends, your family, what is God's righteousness? Could they tell you? Could they tell you? I dare say not. Why not? They're ignorant of it. Their preachers don't know it. They don't preach it. People are ignorant of God's righteousness. Proverbs 13:6, it says, righteousness keeps him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. Now, we know that all righteousness is outside of us. Not a bit of righteousness inside of us, right? Not any. Not just a little bit of righteousness in us. There is no righteousness in us. Knowing that it resides all in the Almighty God. Knowing that righteousness is what justifies the sinner. It is that righteousness that resulted from, that's important to know now, that it resulted from the obedience of Christ in life and death. When Christ had finished his obeying and had endured all the penalties of the law in his death, what remained? There was a remainder. And what remained was righteousness, the perfect satisfaction of the law. And God took that perfect satisfaction, that perfect righteousness, and he reckoned it, he accounted it to all for whom Christ died. And when he did that, that is justification. That is being justified in his eyes. How many know that? How many? Not many. Most have never heard it. Most have never thought it. It's never crossed their minds. But in Proverbs it says it's righteousness that keeps. So it's righteousness that keeps the soul. It's righteousness that keeps the soul thankful and trusting. Ignorant of God, ignorant of man, ignorant of the future, ignorant of God's righteousness. Turn back with me to our text in Romans 19. What does it say then? I'm talking about the high price of ignorance now. Also, that soul that be without knowledge, it is not good. It just is not good. There's not one thing good you can say about ignorance. And furthermore, the man that is ignorant of these basic things, particularly this righteousness, what does he do? He hastes with his feet and he sins. What does he do? He moves rapidly without knowledge away from God's righteousness to establish his own righteousness. He has a zeal. Same thing that Paul says, zeal. Same thing he says, haste. He hastes. He moves to the religion and the works of conditions. The religion of conditions. What must I do? And they thinking that there is something they can do. Now, knowledge is power. Ignorance, therefore, is weakness. If you believe in that statement right there, the biblical next step would be discernment is power. Deception is weakness. Let me say that again. Knowledge is power. Ignorance is weakness. Discernment is power. Deception is weakness. For example, discernment delivered Jacob and his sons in Genesis 41 and verse 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art." It was their discernment that Pharaoh looked upon and said to Joseph, "That's what has delivered you." But the lack of discernment cost the first generation of Israelites, the first ones that went into the land of Canaan and came back out and said, "Oh yeah, the land's beautiful, it's great, it's wonderful, it has everything we're looking for, but there's some mighty big men in there, and we're not going to be able to overcome them." Listen to what the Bible, this is what Moses said about them. "Moreover, your little ones," their second generation. So you have the first generation and the second generation, "your little ones, which you said would be prey if you go in. And your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil." They're not able to discern between good and evil. That's children for you. "But they will go in there, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it." The problem was the lack of discernment. The lack of knowledge led to the lack of discernment. The lack of discernment led them to not take action. And they remained outside. Discernment delivered the woman at the well. You remember when Jesus came along and he said to his disciples to go and buy food, but I must stay here. He stayed there at the well, and the woman came, and she was an elect. That's why he had to stay. He had a meeting with her, and the woman said unto him, "Sir, I discern that thou art a prophet of God." It was that discernment that delivered her out of darkness. She was able to see who Christ was. She didn't get up that morning thinking that light was going to come to her, but when she saw him, she was enabled to embrace him. Discernment is exhorted to all believers. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." They say they are prophets. They believe they are prophets. They may even try to prophesy. But you must be discerning, the scripture says. Now, how do we discern? Well, we have a book. We have a book, and it's this book that we go by. This book is our sole authority. It's not my fascination with it, not what I think. It's what does the book tell us. And it takes careful study, I understand, to go through this book. But beloved, we are to try every spirit to see whether it is of God. So we have seen integrity is better than perversity, and we have considered a little bit of the high price of ignorance. It's a very high price. Let me give you one more discernment and then I'll stop. In Psalm 139 in verse 1, it says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. You know my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." And the amazing thing is that he still loves us. He still cares for us. He still sent His Son to die for us. His Spirit abides within us. His Spirit leads us along the way, still knowing all of that about us. Now, you can be afraid in thinking about the omniscience of God, but I encourage you to let it be a comfort to you that God knows you, yet loves you. He cares for you. He's going to see you through, no matter how difficult your circumstances are. So I want you to think a little bit about this matter of ignorance. May God give us the knowledge we need. Would you stand with me, please? Our gracious and good Heavenly Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth to save us and did so. And the Spirit of God who awakened us now leads us. We pray for those who are here today, those who are not here. We thank especially of Brother Baker. We pray that you would give him strength. Give strength to his body and to his mind as he recovers. I pray that you would bless our time together. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen.